I'd like to add my welcome to you this morning. I know some of you have been here before and some haven't, so it's really good to see you this morning. This morning we're going to be learning about crosses. And the first cross we see there, you might recognise that as a level train crossing, but we're going to look at four different types of crosses. And the first one, I need some audience participation for this one. Thomas, or anyone else, can anyone tell me what this sum is here? What's the answer to this sum here? Anyone? Is it 5? No? Daniel? 4, yeah. So, this sum here is a wrong answer. The correct answer is 4. Maths. I was never good at any maths. Times tables, fractions, division, quadratic equations. Nah, it's just not me, really. Maths is not my strong point, despite my dad once being a maths teacher. I frequently saw X's on my maths homework, and at an early stage, I thought that my teacher really loved me, but I soon come to realise that that wasn't the case. It is very important to get our sums correct, especially now we are in a financial crisis. We need to add up our bills, make sure we have enough money. When a businessman gets his accountant to add up his money and balance the books, he doesn't want them to be added up wrong. Boys and girls, teenagers, if you add up your pocket money wrong, if you add up to have too much or too little, you'll realise that you won't be able to buy that dolly or that toy car or that new iPod Touch. It's all about getting it right. But there's something wrong with us. The Bible tells us that we have very basic rules to obey. These are the Ten Commandments. God gave them us so that we could obey Him, and they are used as a mirror for us to see what God's standard is that He has set. Let me ask you 3 questions about the Ten Commandments to see where you stand. First question, have you ever told a lie? Think about this in your mind. You don't have to answer out loud. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken anything that doesn't belong to you? Have you thought in your mind about the opposite sex in a lustful way? Even to think in the mind, the Bible calls this adultery. Okay, now as you've considered these in your mind, by your own admission, you would have answered yes to all of them. For me, myself, I can answer yes to all of them. So by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving adulterer. Now, I don't say that to cause offence, but I say that because that is true. And I can answer yes to this, so we're all in the same boat. The Bible calls this sin. One form of the word sin in the Bible is transgression. It appears 448 times in the Bible. It means to break a law, to trespass outside the boundaries God has set. It is something we choose to do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And in verse 23 of that same chapter, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 1 John 3, 4 reads, the person who sins breaks God's law. Yes, sin is living against God's law. The Bible tells us that sin is falling short of the standard God has set. It is our sin that causes the problem, and we are answerable for it. It is not our environment, or upbringing, or parents, or lack of privileges. It is our fault, and God holds us responsible. So we now come to our second cross that I had lots of these in my maths sums. And I thought they're all about something. Can anyone tell me what these X's mean? On there, you may see them at the bottom of letters or cards. Thomas? Do you know? Okay. They mean love. We all like to know that our dad and mum loves us, our brother and sister, our wife or husband, our friends and family. Today we receive these messages in many forms, either by text, email, card, letters or notes in our lunchboxes. This cross shows us love for us, that we are loved by somebody. The Bible tells us that God is a God of love and that he loves his people. 1 John chapter 4 verses 7 to 11 reads, "Behold, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this love of God was manifested towards us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, that not we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Again, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The world in that verse means his people. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us. That's why we are still sinners. Christ died for us." We heard Christ has died for his people. He loves his people. So, his people are Christians. With God's love also comes his wrath, punishment. God's wrath is his anger against those who sin and his determination to punish them. It is divine holiness stirred into action against our law breaking of his holy law. God, who is utterly and completely holy, cannot regard evil as good and good as the same. He cannot smile compassionately upon both truth and lies. So God's holiness makes hell as inevitable as his love makes heaven. So this takes us nicely onto our next X. And can anyone tell me what the next picture means? What's this X? Anyone? Thomas, first hand up. Rescue, yes. It says up there, but obvious, isn't it? And what symbol could it be used on? Anyone say? When you see it? Ambulance, yeah. Okay, what about the next one? First aid, yeah. So British Red Cross is the first one. Next one is the green box, first aid or pharmacy. And the next one, we've had the answer to, is on an ambulance. So, rescue. We can see all these crosses, they're in need of helping or in saving people. The Bible tells us because of sin and sin in the world, we need rescuing from it so that we could be saved and have a right relationship with God. Because of sin, we have death, as we read before. Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all like being paid after we've worked so hard. You work, you get paid. You expect to get paid. This is what you deserve. This verse is telling us because we sin, we deserve death. We are spiritually dead. Yes, we may have a heartbeat, and we are alive, and we're sitting there in our seats, standing here. But if you are not a Christian, you are dead, spiritually. I have the responsibility to tell you now that if you don't have Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you are dead. It will be foolish of me, who's been made alive in Christ, not to tell you this, to tell you that you are dead. Dead in our sins. We looked at our first cross and found that there is something wrong with us, and that is being sinful. If you are not a Christian here this morning, then you are the walking dead. Imagine this. You see a group of people walking to the end of a cliff, and they don't know that if they keep on walking, they will walk off the edge and die. Well, the Bible and the Bible's authority are not my own. You're dead. You need saving. You're walking to the edge of that cliff, and some people don't know it. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But that is not where we stop. We come to our next cross, the most cross which is familiar to all. Cross of Calvary, of the forgiveness. This cross is where sinners who are dead in their trespasses and sins can be made alive due to Jesus Christ's death upon the cross. Jesus himself has said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This was when he was first starting out in his ministry. He knew what his purpose was, and he completed it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 7 reads, For I, being the Apostle Paul, deliver to you first of all that which I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. That after that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. On the cross sin is punished and borne by a substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. God provides sinners with a sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to take sinners' place as he pours out his wrath upon his own Son. And we also see at the cross of Calvary, forgiveness. At the cross, there is forgiveness. Colossians 2:13 says, And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Titus 3 explains more. He saved us because of his mercy. It was not because of good deeds we did to be right with him. He saved us through the washing that made us new people through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9, as Mark read before, says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Bible says that man is a slave to sin, and because of that sin, he's an enemy of God. Sin gives rise to hostility between the holy God and sinful man. It creates a massive barrier that we will be incapable of removing, even if we wanted to. God's answer to this is to bring together two persons by removing the hostility that has previously existed between them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 18 to 21 reads, God was reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. It goes on to read, Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We see here four steps that occur for sinners to follow to have a right relationship with God. The first step we see here is that God does not count our sin against us. We are responsible for our sin, and so we sin is like an individual item on a bill, and every time we sin, the debt grows. But when God forgives us, He wipes the slate clean and removes the debt, leaving us with nothing, and he doesn't count our sin against us now or in the future. What happens to the sinner's sins? Are they just forgiven? No, God can't do that. These sins have to be answered for. The debt has to be paid in full, and God's holy law has to be satisfied. If God does not count our sins against us, what does he do with them? He counts our sins against Christ. God makes Jesus responsible for our sin. Jesus willingly accepts the terrible responsibility, and God lays on him the sin and the guilt of sinners. We see, thirdly, Christ bears the punishment that was due to us. Christ now bearing our sin is treated by God bearing on the cross. Jesus now bearing our sin is treated by God as we deserve to be treated, and the full wrath of God falls upon upon Jesus on the cross bearing our sin. Sin, which is the barrier, has now been broken down and is dealt with justly. And the fourth thing we see on the cross, God credits the righteousness of Jesus to us. If we are Christians, God now counts the righteousness of his Son, and he is now able to treat us as he would normally treat the Lord Jesus Christ. We take upon Jesus' righteousness upon us. And we now come to our final cross that we see. The big question in America at the moment is McCain or Obama. We soon may have to vote Labour again, or the Conservatives, or some other political party. There are polls all the time about useless things. But the most important thing you can do today, if you are not a Christian, is to decide whether you want to be forgiven of your sins or to continue to live as you are. Do you want life or death? Romans 10 verses 9 reads, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." True repentance involves seeing sin for what it really is. It's not just a character defect, but a permanent attitude of rebellion against the love and care and righteous authority of God. There has to be great desire to break with the past and to live in the future only to please God. That is repentance. You will also need faith. Faith is an unwavering trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Saviour to deal with sin. It is not merely to agree with a set of principles, but a coming to Christ in repentance, crying for mercy. Faith hears the truth of the gospel, believes it, and then acts upon it. Saving faith progresses from a belief in certain facts to a real trusting in Christ and what he has done on behalf of sinners like you and me. Faith is a response of the mind and heart to the Saviour of dead souls in Jesus Christ. If you want to learn more about who Jesus is and what he came for, then the church can put on a Christianity Explore course for you. You can discover more. If you want to talk to someone after the service, then please come and either see me or Tom or Pastor Aid, and we'd be happy to talk to you. But as we've seen, there's something wrong, and that is sin, and you need to sort it before God today, because you don't know how long you have left. We need to get it right. We need to seek God and ask for repentance. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can look in your word and we can see what is wrong with us. We can see that we break your law. We can see that we are sinful by nature. and that you have given us a way out and forgiveness of our sins by your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that your Son was so willing to die on the cross for sinners' sins. We thank you, Father, that when he died, he took upon the sin of sinners, and he made us righteous. He made us clean. He made us pure. And Lord God, we pray that for those who haven't accepted you as our Saviour, as your Saviour, we pray, Father, that you would cause them to think, as Phil mentioned before in his testimony, that we would see that we sinners in need of a Saviour. And Lord God, we pray that it would please you to save lost souls here this morning. Lord, as we close in prayer and sing your final hymn, help us to remember that you are to receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.